This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopian News Solar World. We're about to speak to Valerie Beck, who's the Program and Project Supervisor in the Energy Division at the California Public Utilities Commission. Welcome to Solar World.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark.
Tell us just a little bit about what you do in the Energy Division and what the Energy Division does at the California PUC.
The California PUC regulates public utilities. And so in the Energy Division, we focus on electric and gas investor-owned utilities.
Okay. Is there another part of the organization that deals with places municipally owned utilities, like the LADWP?
Well, our agency does not regulate municipal utilities, just investor-owned utilities.
Oh, okay. All right.
PG&E, Pacific Bell, privately owned water companies.
Okay. We're going to be talking about the California Solar Initiative, which was designed to consolidate the California Energy Commission's and the CPUC's programs in this area. What's the California Energy Commission, and how does it differ from the CPUC?
Well, at the CPUC, we have direct regulatory authority over utilities, which means we determine their rates and their rules and what services they can offer.
Right.
And safety and reliability issues.
And the California Energy Commission, what does it do?
They are highly policy-focused. They're focused on research, data acquisition and analysis.
Okay.
But they don't have direct jurisdiction over energy-related utilities or transportation, etc.
Okay.
So they look at policy, not developing rules.
Okay, I got that. So talk about the technical, economic, political, environmental trends that led the California Public Utilities Commission to launch the California Solar Initiative.
That's a tall order.
The short version is, why are you doing this?
Historically, we've been supporting energy efficiency programs for probably the last 20 years. Uh-oh, I have to board a plane.
You're going to have to go?
No, I think I can still talk while I'm on the plane.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
So historically, I would say at least over the last 20 years, we've been developing and implementing energy efficiency policies for the utilities to carry out. The energy crisis, I would say more than anything, really stepped up our development in that area.
Okay. Now, this program that we're going to talk about involves $2.9 billion in solar incentives. Where is that money going to come from?
That is going to come from ratepayers of the investor-owned utilities. It's going to be funded through utility rates.
Okay. And what's the strategic vision of California's Solar Initiative? What is it that you're overall trying to do?
Well, as you know, there's been... Well, I think most recently has been Governor Schwarzenegger's desire to install what he called a million solar roofs in California.
Right.
And ultimately that was transferred into legislation.
Right.
Into 300 megawatts. It was quantified to 300 megawatts. Now, while that legislation is not in effect for a number of reasons, the PUC thought it would be important to see what we could do to carry out that goal.
So, in essence, what you're trying to do is carry out what SB 1 would have done had it been passed and passed by the legislature. Okay.
Exactly. We've been quite active in looking at climate change issues and greenhouse gas issues, and so this seemed to be a good fit with the energy efficiency programs and the other demand response programs we have in place to try to address climate change and greenhouse gases.
Okay. Now, on the economic level, what's the sort of the philosophy according to which you're going to offer incentives which you see as tipping the balance or the decision-making of individual households to install solar technology rather than not?
Well, I think although this hasn't been determined. What I would like to see is a huge consumer education effort go along with this available funding.
Okay, and what are the elements of that education? What do you want people to know?
Well, first of all, we'd like them to know the program exists.
Right. Well, they can listen to this and find out.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
As you do find your seats, please make sure that your hand items are stowed either in the overhead bin or completely under the seat in front of you.
This is a very live interview.
Sorry about this.
It's okay.
I might not have heard specifically your last question, but
What is it that you want? What kind of educational outreach are you going to launch, and what do you want people to know?
Well, the education effort is yet to be decided, but one of the things we'd like to do is heavily link it to conservation and energy efficiency to kind of carry out that entire message. But
right.
First of all, to let folks know incentives are available. There's a lot of money available, so hopefully we can have broader participation than we ever have had before.
Right.
And we'd like to mainstream it.
Okay.
So we'll be developing messages to mainstream solar facilities.
Okay. The incentives go down by 10% each year. Is this to encourage people to move sooner rather than later?
Yes, and definitely. Also, we hope to kind of bring the price of technologies down through the level of incentives that are available. So,
yes.
To benefit consumers in two ways.
Higher
incentives up front and lower costs in the long run.
To what extent do you think that more expenditures for solar equipment encouraged by your program will drive down unit costs of the solar equipment and thereby lead to further deployments?
Primarily through technology development. As your listeners are probably aware, silicon prices have gone up, and that, of course, affects the price of PV panels because silicon is a key component there. So, as your listeners also probably know, this has led to various stem cell technologies and panels that require little to no silicon. And we hope to make those technologies and perhaps others that have yet to be developed, we hope to bring those to development and to the market.
Now, which technologies are eligible under this program?
So far, the commission has authorized PV.
Right, photovoltaics.
The commission is also looking at what we could do with solar thermal technology.
Can you tell our listeners what solar thermal technology is?
Probably the most well-known is solar thermal water heating.
Right.
Which would displace natural gas.
Right.
Potentially heating and space heating and air conditioning.
Right.
The commission hasn't made a decision on that yet.
Now, there's another there's another kind of solar thermal electricity system called a Stirling engine, which is a heat engine or an external combustion engine, which uses concentrated solar energy to heat a cylinder, which moves a piston, which generates electricity.
Correct.
It is amazing. Are Stirling engines eligible under this program, or is that still under consideration?
Well, a staff report issued in roughly May of this year proposed that they would be eligible. The commission is considering that report as well as comments that have come in from interested parties, and I expect a proposed decision will be issued very soon on that matter.
Okay. What other opportunities for further input from the public and consideration by the commission exist? What's the plan for this year in that area?
Well, as I say, a proposed decision will be out soon, and we certainly welcome your comment on that.
Right.
That will be very immediate, so that might be of most interest to your listeners.
Right.
But through the end of this year, we expect to look at issues such as how affordable housing entities might participate in the program.
Right.
So that might be an area of interest as well.
Right. Is there any relationship between the California Solar Initiative and VNOD Khosla's Proposition 87 Clean Alternative Energy Initiative, which is going to be on the California ballot this fall?
We have moved ahead with the solar initiative sort of regardless of what has happened on the political front, simply because that's uncertain. But we will certainly take a look at that closely and see what happens in November.
Okay. Is there any view, from your point of view, that connecting the solar-generated electricity with plug-in hybrid electric vehicles might offer some benefits to the people and businesses of the state?
Do I think that that would be a benefit?
Yes.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Because people would be able to generate the electricity locally and plug in their cars and and drive around.
Exactly. Just as they would plug in a can opener or blender.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the subsidies are stated at $2.50 per watt. What is a typical system going to involve in terms of its wattage, and what could individual investor distributed generating households expect to save through this program?
Well, for a residential customer, a typical system would be between 2 and 3 kilowatts. So, 2,000 to 3,000. So
you're saying they would get paid up front $2,000 to $3,000, depending on the size of the system?
Oh no, I'm sorry. You're asking about size. Customers would be paid. Well, let me back up a little.
Sure.
As I said, the commission is determining how incentives will be paid in the future.
Right.
In other words, the decision that comes out in the next, couple of weeks.
Okay, I hope we'll be able to talk about when it does.
I hope so, too.
Okay.
I hope you invite me back.
Right.
But traditionally, it's been an upfront payment based on the size of the system.
Right.
Currently, for residential customers, I believe the incentive is $2.80.
Okay. So what would a typical residential system cost? How many watts would it generate? And so let's calculate what the savings is going to be in an absolute percentage way.
Sure. I tend to think of these systems in terms of watts.
Right.
Which is 1,000 watts. So if we're looking at a 3-watt system.
Right.
That's what, $2,800 a watt?
Well, let's see.
If I'm doing my math correctly?
Right. So a typical system would generate how many watts?
Well, the size of the system would be between 2 and 3 watts. 2 and 3 kilowatts.
2 and 3 kilowatts. Or,
for a residential system.
Right, 2,000 or 3,000 watts.
Exactly.
Or as we say, 2 or 3 kilowatts. Okay.
Right.
So what would a system like that, for straightforward, state-of-the-art photovoltaics cost right now?
Roughly $15,000.
$15,000, okay. And then a rebate would be in the area of $2,000 to $3,000. Is that about right?
Well, let's see. 280 a watt.
280 a watt. So
right.
You got a thousand watts would be $2,800, wouldn't it?
Right.
So
multiply
the two
that
of those
three.
Would be by three is $6,024. That's $8,400, isn't it?
I don't have my calculator with me, but that sounds about right.
Okay, and so that's not...
I would also mention that there are federal tax credits available for residential customers up to $2,000.
So have we calculated that the person paying $15,000 to install a 2 to 3 kilowatt system would get $8,000 from the state and $2,000 from the feds and end up paying only $5,000 for the system?
Potentially.
Okay, so that's the order of magnitude. So, and then what over some kind of time period are they likely to save? They're not going to be paying for electricity anymore, are they?
Correct.
What about systems for putting this electricity back into the grid and helping other people with it? What's the cost structure for that?
I believe you're talking about net metering.
Right.
Which allows customers essentially to bank credits for what they've generated, and that would be applied directly to their utility bill to offset any consumption costs for power that the customers purchased from the utility.
Right. So essentially, they can be pumping the electricity into the grid all day, and then at night they can essentially make a withdrawal from the energy bank, and if they're putting more in than they're taking out, they don't have to pay anything.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
Right, and I read in one of your Q&A pages, it said that at the present time you can't get money for putting in way more or any more than you take out, but that people who wanted to do that, you gave a very short answer, it's a pithy answer, to contact your legislator. Is there some effort underway that you know of to pass a law in California that would pay people for generating more electricity than they use through a distributed solar generation?
I haven't seen any proposed legislation to that effect, but I can tell you that policymakers are looking at that issue.
And if that were done on some widespread level, in addition to these other incentives, it might encourage people to start building more of these to make money.
It could. Yes, it could.
Okay. Talk about the effect on California businesses of putting California at the forefront of solar energy generation in terms of exporting the technology and the expertise that California companies will develop to other parts of the country or the world.
That's a pretty wide question. Do you want to narrow that down a little bit?
Sure. Is one of the goals of this program to put California companies in the forefront of solar technology and help California's balance of payments, essentially?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, California, Silicon Valley in particular, is just a hotbed of technology development, and certainly if that technology could be brought to market, I assume the entrepreneurs would definitely look to other markets in addition to California and the United States.
Would this program disappear after 2017, and how do you think the solar environment will be at that point? And whether it ought to be extended, or whether you think it'll sort of jumpstart the whole process and it'll be enough by then?
Yeah, I mean, one of the goals of the program certainly is to mainstream solar, as I mentioned before.
Right.
And the solar developers tell us that a long-term incentive program, such as ours, where the incentives decline year after year, the goal by 2017 is that solar will no longer need incentives.
Okay.
It'll be as common as purchasing a fluorescent light bulb.
Okay. Do the CPUC buildings have solar generating capacity themselves now already?
Oh, you better believe it. Yes. we have a solar water heater up on our roof.
Any photovoltaics or Stirling engines there yet?
No Stirling engines yet, no.
You have some photovoltaics?
Not yet.
Okay. But your public agents, can governments take advantage of these benefits?
Yes, absolutely they can. And there are several California universities that have solar.
Right.
Other California buildings that have solar.
Right.
So absolutely, we urge and encourage government participation at the local, state, and federal level.
Okay, good. I want to thank you for your participation. I hope you can catch your flight and have a safe flight. And I hope we can talk again in a short time when some of these issues that are still under discussion are decided and announced.
Absolutely. I look forward to it, Mark.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.